The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Ocean of life. You're saved. You're saved from drowning. You're saved from death. But you're not born again. You're still wet and stinky. So the new birth is more than salvation. And that begs the question, how is the new birth more than salvation? Well, let's examine the scriptures. This is the word, church. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul says there, but if you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's not rocket science. He says you didn't have to do something. You didn't have to stop something to be saved. Come on. You didn't have to stop smoking, dipping snuff. Come on. You didn't have to stop cussing, chewing, or hanging around with those that do those kind of things. He said if you believe, come on, he said if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And the question is, how will I know I'm saved? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then verse 13 in Romans chapter 10 says, For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even that person you thought there was no hope for them, even that person you said they've gone off on the dark end, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we've taken that verse and we've misused it. Now, that verse is a true verse. But it's telling you about your legal position in this present world now that you have believed on Jesus Christ. If you look at that passage and you look at the verses before that passage, it clearly says that we should know no man after the flesh. We knew Jesus after the flesh, but we know him no more after the flesh. None of you have ever seen Jesus in the flesh. And when somebody confessed Jesus in the flesh, we are not to look at their flesh. We're to look beyond their flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, legally, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The reason you have to look for the new things is because legally, they have been passed away. You don't have to be wet, stinky, and say, I'm saved. But you can also be born again. Now, here's another proof of that verse. When Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Verse 18, which you never quote. And all things are of God, who have reconciled unto him, to himself, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Can you tell me, those of you who confess to be saved, can you tell me that everything in your life is 100% absolutely of God? You might as well talk to me. But in the new creation, all things are of God. I can't even say that everything is of God in my life. But that legal position is mine. It's like if you had $1 million in the bank But you didn't know it. But you're still sleeping under the bridge. You're still living under the poverty line. But legally, you have money in the bank. And you won't know that until you inform. And you won't know it until you go to the bank and look into the account to see if it's so. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, his legal position is you are now a new creation. The old things about your life and the mind of God, they're passed away. Then it says, behold, in other words, look, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Where? In the new creation. Is that right? Now, when I look at all these verses on balance, it clearly shows me that salvation is a deliverance. The new birth is a regeneration. Let me say that again. Salvation is a deliverance. The new birth is a regeneration. Salvation requires confession and belief. But the new birth requires seeing and entering. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Do I need to say that again? You can try to conflate it if you want, but you're not rightly dividing the word of God. Salvation is a deliverance. The rebirth is a regeneration. Salvation simply consists of confessing and believing. That's all the thief on the cross did, by the way. Jesus said, for this day you shall be with me in paradise. But on the other hand, the new birth has to do with seeing and entering the kingdom. Is that right? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 tells us that we're born again. And being born again, not by that corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, which is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The more words you receive, beloved, listen to me very carefully. It's not just good enough to get saved, but you got to sit under the word of God and get taught. You got to feed on this word, and the more words you get, it will cause you to be birthed into this born-again experience. Come on. Come on. You just can't confess, I'm born again and be born again. You can confess salvation that way, because you believe on Jesus Christ, but you just can't confess and believe, oh, I'm born again. No, Peter says, and being born again, not by the incorruptible seed, by the corruptible seed rather, but by the incorruptible. We're not born by the corruptible seed. What is that corruptible seed? Legalism, religion. That is that corruptible seed. But we have been born again by that incorruptible seed, Peter says, which is the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And I know that was my experience. Remember, I sat in the church all my life that I can remember. But I wasn't saved, let alone being born again. I was a good church member. But after I got saved, I got hungry for the things of God. When I say I got hungry, I was so hungry for the things of God, I didn't just go to church. I tried to get there early. Then I was running to get a good seat. I wanted to get as close up the front as I could to just feed on what the pastor was teaching. And all of a sudden, I got an epiphany. The light came on. It's like I had been sitting in a dark room, and all of a sudden, the light came on. That's when I knew I was born again. I saw the kingdom of God. I saw this unshakable kingdom on the inside. I saw this kingdom, and I entered this kingdom. Now, when you enter this kingdom as a result of being born again, you're not going to be talking doubt, fear, and unbelief. Even when sickness comes upon you, you're going to stand on the word of God. You're not going to question if it's so. You see, because you've been born again, not by that corruptible word, and that corruptible word, it is filled with doubt, fear, and unbelief. Questions about God. And you see, when you're born again, you're going to stand on the Word of God regardless of what your circumstances are saying, because you know what God is saying, and you know what you see in the eyes of your spirit. It's about seeing. Yeah, born again people get sick. Born again people have trouble. Born again people have tests and trials. But the difference is how they handle it, because they see the answer. They see the answer. They see what the unsaved cannot see, and they see what the religious refuse to see. We're born again by the Word of God. That Word of God is the very sperm of God that calls a rebirth. Then when you'll get Colossians chapter 1, turn there. I want to walk you through this, because I want to backdoor this and show you something. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, I'm going to go real slow so you can get this. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now the NIV says, in the kingdom of the light. The Living Bible says, in the kingdom of the light. But the point in verse 12 is simply this. We ought to be thankful to God. Now remember, now Paul is writing this to Christians. He's writing this to people who believe. He's writing this to people who are saved. And he says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of the Son of his love. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We've had a natural birth. We've had a birth dealing with water. Every one of us have come out of the birth canals of our mothers. And our mother's water bag broke before we came forth into this world. We have already been born of water, but Jesus says, you must be born of the Spirit as well. And then in verse 14 he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin. Now that's what salvation consists of. Salvation consists of that you believe that you have been redeemed, come on, through his blood or by his blood, and you have the forgiveness of sin. Now if you look at these verses in reverse, you look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin. That's salvation. Somebody shout salvation. Now look at verse 12. He has delivered us. Remember I told you salvation was what? Deliverance. Come on, talk to me. Salvation is what? Deliverance. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Come on. Sin doesn't have any dominion over you unless you give sin permission to have dominion over you. And he's conveyed us. In other words, he's translated us. He's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But this kingdom, you must see. This kingdom, you must enter. And you have every right to do it because verse 12 says, he's qualified you. You've been qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, remember I was telling you last week, spiritually speaking, there's four categories of people. You have, of course, the unsaved. You have the religious. Many of them sit up in churches every Sunday. And then you have those that are truly saved. They truly believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior. And then you have those that are born again. Is that right? But let me say something about the unsaved and the religious. You know, a lot of people think they're better because they go to church. You think you're better than your neighbors that don't go to church. Well, let me tell you something. You got something in common with them. The unsaved and the religious have something in common. They're both blind. The only difference between the religious is that they go to church or wherever they go, but they're both blind. Is that right? Huh? But the saved has been delivered from darkness, as we just read. The saved has been delivered. They understand, I've been delivered. And so I can act as though it's so. God's not going to take something from you. You got to make up your mind that you don't want to go that way no more. But that doesn't make you unsaved while you're trying to make up your mind. Because he's already paid it all. Huh? And then the reborn, they see the kingdom and they enter into the kingdom of his dear son. But that's the difference. And we judge unsaved folks. They're going to hell for this, they're going to hell for that. I believe God will be more merciful on the unsaved than he will be on the religious who should know better. Because you're both blind. Huh? But the reborn, the saved, you've been delivered. I've been delivered. That's what it means to be saved. I have looked and now I live. And he says, whoever looks upon that brazen serpent shall live. And that was a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. Now the reborn, according to Jesus, he says they must see, and then they enter where they see. Now, salvation is progressive, but the new birth, it just springs forth. It just springs forth. You see, the more hungry you get, the more words you get, you'll get to the place you don't need nobody to tell you what's right or what's wrong, because you see it. You see that unshakable kingdom. Is that right? So salvation is progressive. Now, what did Paul say to the Philippians? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He told them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he didn't tell them to work for it. He says, work it out. What does it mean to work it out? To work out your salvation simply means to put in practice the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word. You work it out. But you can never earn this. For we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So I can never work enough to earn my way to heaven. The only way I can go to heaven is to believe on him who died for me. And so Paul says you got to work it out. If you're working it out, that's a progression. And I hope that everyone here within the sound of my voice is still working out your salvation, and you're doing it with fear and with trembling. In other words, you're putting into practice the things you're learning from the Word of God. Is that right? It gets even more interesting than that. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, my little children, he says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Here Paul gives the picture of a woman, of a pregnant woman who's going through labor pains. But how many know when the woman goes through labor pains, the baby isn't born yet? Y'all need to talk to me. But Paul says to these Galatian Christians, my little children, they were saved. They were believers. And he said to them, my little children, he says, I travail and birth for you again until Christ be formed in you. So what was Paul saying? Paul was showing us there that Christ is progressively formed in us. Salvation is progressively formed in us. You see, you were saved, you're being saved, you shall be saved, and you ought to be growing in your salvation each and every day. Is that right? In fact, that word form is the word morpho, the word we get metamorphosis from. In other words, we are being translated. And Paul says, I want you to be translated into being formed or reborn in Christ. Now, do you follow me on that? So Paul was struggling with labor pains metaphorically, for believers of Galatia until Christ would be formed or reborn in them. And I'm telling you, beloved, don't get at ease in Zion. Don't feel satisfied just because you got a fire insurance policy that when you die, you're going to heaven. What are you going to do between now and death? You're living here on this earth. And I'm telling you, God wants us to be lifted up. Come on, from the beggarly elements of this world. He wants us to come up out of the pit. I'm not satisfied that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to live a victorious life here, my God, and now, and I want to know that I have power here and now. I want to know that abundant life is for me here and now. I want to know that I have power over the enemy, come on, here and right now. I'm not trying to hold on till he come. So many are trying to hold on till he come, holding on to a thread. Just holding on to a thread. Looking for a better life when you die. What makes you believe your life will be better after death if you haven't seen improvement in your life here on earth? What makes you think that? And I'm telling you, the new birth is more than salvation. Don't be complacent. Don't be satisfied. Like my pastor in Minneapolis used to tell me all the time, there's always room at the top. There's always something else to receive from God. Come on. And so even after the new birth, you can be filled with the Spirit. You know, my wife asked me an interesting question. I'm closing when I say this. She asked me an interesting question the other day, and I believe the question was, can a person that's saved and be filled with the Spirit still not be reborn? And I have to think about it for a moment because I'm a word man. I have to think about it for a moment. And I said, absolutely yes. Many people can be saved and filled with the Spirit and not be reborn because they're both gifts. Salvation is a gift. Come on. For you are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 11 was a gift. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? They're both gifts. But the new birth is an experience as a result of the Word of God being permeated within us. And that sperm, that word, makes a connection in our spiritual womb. My God, we begin to open our eyes and see things we had never seen before. We begin to believe the impossible. We believe that God is right here and right now. It's sort of disheartening when I see people that have been saved for years, saved even longer than me. And the slightest little conflict, it upsets them and shakes their faith. And I'm telling you, that's probably somebody that really don't understand what it means to be born again. When you're born again, you're living in a different realm. And that's what the word kingdom means. The word is basileia, and basileia simply means the realm and the dominion of God. You're living in not the third dimension, but you're living in the fourth dimension. In other words, you're walking by faith and not by sight. This is what Jesus, and I'm gonna get to that next week, Lord willing. This is what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand. Nicodemus was a religious man, well-respected religious man, a man who undoubtedly loved God. But Jesus told this well-respected man who undoubtedly believed God, he was a ruler. In other words, he was a preeminent teacher in Israel. Jesus said to this man, you must be born again. In other words, there's more than salvation. And except the man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. It didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. Now, the church may tell you that, but that's incorrect. He said you wouldn't see the kingdom. He didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. He said, except the man born of water and of spirit, he would not enter into the kingdom. He didn't say you wouldn't enter into heaven. The words are entirely different. Come on. And next week I'll begin to show you that the new birth is not for dying, it's for living. And so I'm not preparing to die, I'm preparing to live. And that's why I need the reborn experience so that I can live a victorious life. Is that right? Glory to God. I've already got my policy paid in full for my death. I know I'm going to heaven when I die because I looked and I shall live. Jesus said, if I be lifted up upon the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And I've looked to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he sat down at the right hand of the Father, the throne of God, and he's making intercession for me and for you. I don't live with the fear that I may not go to heaven. Heaven already belongs to me. My policy's paid in full. But what I need to be concerned about is how to navigate the issues of life. How to navigate the tests and the trials, the challenges that we face day in and day out. And to do that, I need to know that I have inside of me, Hebrews 12, an unshakable kingdom. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But you want to make sure you don't get shook. And that's why you need to be born again. Now, you can't make an altar call for people to be born again. It doesn't work that way. 1 Peter 1:23, trying to close. And being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if you really want to be born again, you need to get hungry for the word. You need to get hungry for the word of God. Is that right?
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net. 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.